Good morning. You can hear me clearly? Okay. Can any of you read what this sign says? I'm going to read it through the backside, right? But it might be kind of hard reading the letters that way. But it says, please silence your cell phone. If you don't know how to do that, we can work on that afterwards. But
turn the volume down.
So, all right. I was so encouraged to see that when Judy asked for Bonnie to come up front, that it wasn't just Judy praying. I saw a lot of hands being extended out toward her. So it's not just the fact that Judy's going to pray or one person's into praying, but we as a community are praying on behalf of someone for their healing. Your prayers count. Your prayers matter. So just be aware that it's body ministry, it's community praying together that matters, okay? So, yes, let's pray. Lord, we just bless your name. Something always changes when we bless your name on the inside of us. But when we come in agreement and acknowledge you for who you are the Lord of Lords, you are the King of Kings, you are the great healer, you are the great deliverer, you are our Savior. There are so many attributes that we can mention. And so, Father, I just would ask you to continue to reveal more and more of who you are, and that we would receive that kind of revelation from you. We bless your name, and we bless the reading of your word. Lord, your word says that it will not pass away, but yet heaven and earth will. Your words will never pass away. They are eternal. And they are true. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So this morning, I'm going to have a couple people read a verse or two. So I've asked Kevin Beck to read a verse. He's going to grab the mic. And he's going to read from John 14, verse 18. John 14, verse 18.
I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you.
Thank you. Now, we're going to talk a little bit about that context, because my sermon today is called, What Do You Mean You Will Only Be With Me a Little Longer? Now, have any of you lost a parent? Mm-hmm. Yeah. How did it make you feel? Lost, right? Did any of you feel abandoned? Yeah. I lost my father when I was 26 years old. Now, to do the math, it's been 35 years since I've had my dad physically with me. I had been married for 2 years when my parents had a major car accident and my dad died after being in a coma for 7 months. I had 2 kids. And like I said, I was just, been only been married for a couple years. Well, the second one wasn't quite born yet, but he was on the way. But the thing is, I was longing to talk with my dad about what does it mean to be a dad? I mean, I already had one, but I was overwhelmed with one. Now I had 2 coming, and I didn't have anyone to talk to about what does it mean to be a good dad. And so I felt somewhat abandoned in that situation. And then 10 years later, I lost my mom. So that's been 25 years since I've had my mom. At that point, Judy had already lost her dad, And then in 2016, Judy lost her mom. And I remember that, and we were all sort of, we were all different places all over the U.S., and so we really couldn't do something together. It was kind of difficult. We did have a memorial service on our own. But I remember a comment that Judy's sister made to me, or to us. She says, "Now we're orphaned." This is a grown woman saying, "Now we're orphaned." And so, so she and all her siblings were adults. Yet even as adults, we can feel or a sense of orphanhood. Right? And yet the dictionary defines orphan as a child who has lost his or her parents. So regardless of we are children or we are adults, the scripture says in Psalm 68 verse 5, it says that God is a father to the fatherless and a defender of widows. He is a father to the fatherless and a defender of widows. And so that verse really stuck to me. And so when I lost my parents, I decided I was not going to feel lonely and I was not going to feel abandoned. So I wrote this declaration way back then. I am not fatherless because my heavenly Father cares for me and he guides me along the way. You hear that? I'm not fatherless because my heavenly Father watches over me and he guides me along the way. You, Father, have placed me in a new family when I felt lonely. I have a large church family. Communion fellowship is my family. Now, when you hear the word communion fellowship, some of you don't know what that means, but that was the name of LifeSpring. And so this church body was my family back then, even though I was gone for several years from this church. And the next verse, verse 6, says this. It says, God places the lonely in families. He sets the prisoners free and gives them joy. So I wrote declarations based on those two verses. Now you may be wondering, what's this got to do with the sermon? What are you talking about, Fernando? Well, you see, when was Easter? It was in April, right? What month are we in? Okay. When is Pentecost? 50 days afterwards, right? So in June. So we're in between, right? So the question at hand is, what I mentioned in the title of the sermon is, you're only going to be with me a little bit longer. If we were to look back at the disciples, they were in between. They were in between the resurrection and Pentecost. So they probably felt a little bit like they were in limbo. See, Jesus died on purpose on Passover, right? And if we're in Pentecost, it's going to be what we find in our Bibles, Acts 2, 50 days later. So in order to know what's going to happen, you have to go back and say, well, what did Jesus say before he was going to die? He said things to them that said, I want you to know these things because then when they happen, you'll know that I already knew. And yet you'll then know I am the Messiah. I am God. You see? So he was very careful with what he had said. So if you were to look at the book of John and look at chapters 13, 14, 15, and 16, four chapters about things that he said in one meal. You know you want your last words to count, right? So you're very careful with what you say. So during that last meal before the crucifixion, Jesus told the disciples something. And Judy's going to read that verse.
Dear children, I will be with you only a little longer. And as I told the Jewish leaders, you will search for me, but you can't come where I am going.
Wait, what? You're going to go somewhere and I can't go with you. Does that make sense? Jesus is at the height of his ministry. And he says, I'm going to go away and you can't go with me. What are you going to be thinking if you hear those words? What comes to mind?
Abandonment.
Abandonment, right? What else? I can't hear what you said. You're all alone. What else? How could you? How could you?
I'm thinking I gave up three. I'm not going to get those 3 years back.
That's right. I just invested 3 years of following you around, not knowing where I was going to sleep, what food I'm going to eat, right? And yet, you're saying the plan's changed. The plan's changed. What's the plan now? I need to know. Don't you feel that way? Right? So you asked me to follow you, and I'm going, and yet you say, I can't go where you're going next. Something's not right with this plan. Right? And what do you mean? By a little longer. So throughout the whole time, during chapters 13, 14, 15, and 16, Jesus is making statements that's making their heads just spin and spin and spin. And he's like, what in the world? He's turning the world upside down. And so the very next thing is, Jesus says to them, oh, Philip, one of the guys in the group, he's been hanging out with Jesus for 3 years. And what happens? He says, Jesus, just show us the Father. And then we'll believe that you are who you are. And what does he say? What does Jesus say? He says this. He says, have I been with you all this time, Philip, and yet you still don't know who I am? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. So why are you asking me to show him to you? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I speak are not my own, but my Father who lives in me does his work through me. Those words need to ring true because they're the last few words that you're going to hear. Right? As a disciple, as one of the 12, he's in me, and what I say, they come from him. There's going to come a moment where the words that they're going to be speaking is not going to come from them, but it's going to come from Jesus, right? So he's showing them that they're the same that is true about Jesus is going to be true about them, that they themselves are going to learn to be one with the Father. They're going to be close. They're going to be intimate with him. And that God himself is going to live inside of them. And they're going to do, and God's going to do a work through them, right? Jesus has to live on the inside of you before Jesus does a work through you. Do you get that? You got to have a relationship with Jesus first before Jesus uses you as a vessel to do something through you. All right. So the question is, how is this going to happen? And I'm sure that all 12 of those guys are thinking the same. I don't get it. How is this going to happen? How is this going to happen? And so Jesus tells them that the Father is going to send them another advocate who will never leave you. Another advocate. What in the world does the word advocate mean? Helper, intercessor. Anything else come to mind? A mediator, lawyer, right? A defense attorney. The Greek word means defense attorney. It's the one who stands next to you to help you. Because if you're in court and you're having to defend yourself, you're more likely an emotional mess, right? But that defense attorney is going to know how to think clearly and objectively. So, and then it says another, the word another here, it says another advocate. The word another means another of the same kind. So he's basically saying that the Father is going to send another person just like Jesus. Jesus is saying, when you see or hear the advocate, the Holy Spirit, it's going to look like me. He's going to look like me. He is going to sound like me. His words are going to be my words, right? Because Jesus said, right? He says, I don't speak my own words. I'm speaking the Father's words. And so he's saying the Holy Spirit's words are going to sound like Jesus' words. All right. So what are the characteristics that Jesus mentions about the Holy Spirit? Because that's what he says. First, he says, I'm going to send you another advocate. And this is what it's going to look like. Number one, he will never leave you. Right? Because right now, he just told them, I'm leaving and you can't go with me. But when the Holy Spirit comes, he will never leave you. Number two, he will lead you in all truth. He will lead you in all truth. And previously in that same chapter, Jesus had just said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Right? And he says, the Holy Spirit who lives with you, which means Jesus must have been already talking to them about what it meant to have the Holy Spirit around, right? The Holy Spirit was influencing the ministry of what they were doing. He says, he who lives with you will now live in you. And he's my representative. And he will teach you everything. And he's going to remind you of everything I've said. Which means the pressure's off of you trying to remember everything that Jesus said. Because the Holy Spirit is going to remind you. He's going to bring it to mind. But you know, if you're reminded of something, what is the prerequisite before you're reminded of something? You would have already read it before. You've already heard it before. But if you never expose it to something that you can't be reminded of, then it's not going to work that way, right? So you got to read it. You got to hear it. You got to say it before it comes back, right? So here's the other thing. He says the Holy Spirit will make sure that you don't feel like you're orphans, right? Because those are the feelings that rose up. He says, you know, Jesus knew that they were going to feel like orphans. And he says, you're never going to have that because the Holy Spirit's going to be with you. And he says, I'm going to deposit a gift in you. What is the gift that Jesus is going to deposit? Peace of mind and heart. Peace of mind and heart. That means that no matter what comes at you, Jesus says that the peace of Christ will rule in your hearts. That's what it says in the book of Colossians. The peace of Christ will rule in your hearts. So you may find out that you say, well, I'm not really experiencing that. That's not really seems to be happening in my life. You can pray. You say, Lord, will you make it real to me? Will you make it real in my heart that the peace of Christ really resides inside of me? Now, have you ever heard somebody say, boy, back then, those disciples had it better than we do have it today. They could see Jesus. They could hear Jesus. They could even smell Jesus. They could hear his laughter. They knew exactly how he cooks the fish for breakfast, right? I mean, how many times has Jesus cooked for you, right? He hasn't cooked for you, has he? You haven't heard his laughter. You haven't heard his jokes. Might be like, you know, the kind of jokes that Russell tells us. Who knows, right? But, see, they could see him in the flesh. They could hear him, you know? Have you ever wished you could be there and actually see him there? Do you ever feel like that would be better than what you have now? Well, Jesus would challenge that thought that you're having. Because this is what he told the guys. He says, in John 16, he says, in verse 7, he says, but in fact, it's best for you that I go away. It's best for you that I go away. It's best for you that I go away. Now, your head is just probably, on the inside, you're just shaking your head, yes. Yeah, Jesus is good. It's good that you go away. Really? I don't think so, right? It says, because if I don't go, the advocate won't come. Another translation says, it's to your advantage that I go away. Now, how many of you would automatically just agree with that statement? It's to your advantage that I go away. You're shaking your heads. No, 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 no. Where did that idea come from, right? Why would that, why is it that you don't feel like that's true? Huh? They've never had that happen, right? You know, one day here in the flesh, I can see all day long, and the next day you're not, and what do I do now? So there's a transition, right? Something has to, there's a transfer. But see, you and I, we've never had him in the flesh, we've never seen him, so why would it not be better? Think about that. What is the lie that they would have been believing, or us believing, that would say it's not better? His very presence is there, right? Physically, naturally. But then there has to be a transition from the physical presence to the spiritual presence, where your heart, like, it's like you, it's like you have a sensitivity that you build that says, he's here. The presence of the Lord is here. I can sense the presence of the Lord here. Or like the presence of the Lord is here for healing in a particular area. You know, Judy picked up on the idea. His presence is here, and he spoke a word to Judy to say, I want to heal somebody in this particular area today. It might be different next Sunday. But today, he's omnipresent, right? But do you have the feeling or the sensation or the sensitivity to know that he's here? Do you know that you walk with the Holy Spirit? Are you having fellowship with him? So, all right, so what's the purpose in all this? Let's see. Well, so Jesus tells these words to them before he dies. Then he dies, then he resurrects from the dead, and then he visits them from time to time, right? And before Pentecost takes place. And when he goes to see them, he always starts out with the words, peace to you, peace unto you, right? You know why he did that? He never knocked on the door. He just walked through the walls. He walked through the walls and kind of freaked them out, right? But this is the one thing he did do in John 20. If you look at John 20, verses 22, and before that, he says, 21, he says, peace unto you. And then he says, receive the Holy Spirit. And he breathed on them. He went. So the Holy Spirit that was indwelling Jesus as he walked on the earth, now he says, it's time for that Holy Spirit to indwell all of you. So he's letting them experience what it means to have the Holy Spirit on the inside. Why? Because he wants each of them to experience a level of intimacy that they didn't have before. There's a transition from you've got Jesus face to face on the outside. Now you're going to have the presence of Jesus via the Holy Spirit on the inside. And so they were given four things, and then I'm going to talk about those. These four things are, they were given permission to let go of the past, how they saw things in the past, how they felt in the past, and now they're going to know the Father intimately and directly. They're going to know the Father intimately and directly. Number two, and before we go to number two, it says, now God is going to be the one who defines, he's going to define how they see themselves. They're not going to live a life with when other people label you, who identify you a certain way. How many people have experienced someone else label you a certain way? And was that label true to who you are? No. Probably not. Not the whole thing, right? Or what if it was true back then, but it isn't true now? Right? They want to keep you stuck in the past. But Jesus says, I'm continually identifying you and giving you an identity that's new. Number two, he is going to give them purpose, and that purpose is to release more and more of his presence into their lives. so that when people see them, they're going to see Jesus, right? Because Jesus had said earlier, right? Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, right? So now it's going to be when people see the disciples, they see Jesus. If you were to look at Acts chapter 4, verses 13 and 8 and 13, in verse, before that verse, what happened in the book of Acts chapter 4 is, you know that song, Peter and John go to pray, right? And they see the lame man and they heal them, right? And when they pray for the man, what happens to the lame man? He goes leaping and running and jumping and praising God, right? So this guy has been there all the time and he gets healed. And they say, well, by whose name have you healed this guy? And they said, Jesus. And so before Peter goes into this long discourse between verse 8 and verse 13, it says, now Peter, full of the Holy Spirit. So before Peter speaks, he says, now Peter, full of the Holy Spirit. And then Peter starts talking. And then when Peter's done talking, in verse 13, it says, the religious leaders of their time were saying, these guys are unschooled. They're uneducated. But there's one thing that distinguishes them from everybody else. They know that these two guys have been with Jesus. So when they saw Peter and John, they were seeing Jesus. And that should be the distinguishing mark, that when people see you and people see you, they see Jesus. Number three, they have been given authority or confidence to be able to walk, talk, think, act like a son or a daughter. They're no longer thinking, acting, walking like an orphan. They are walking with confidence, with boldness, and authority that they are a son or daughter. My question is, are you walking in that same confidence? Are you walking in that same boldness? Are you walking in that same authority? Do you know that you know that you are a son or a daughter?
Amen.
And the fourth thing is, they began a training program. They were given a training program where the Holy Spirit was going to work in them before he worked through them. He was going to work in them. He was going to mature them, right? We all, you know, if you've been around children, you know that they're going through a maturity process, right? Daily, they're going through a maturity process. And sometimes you're saying, oh, Lord, would you please hurry up, right? And that maturity process involves learning to be loving, right? Have you ever had to learn to be loving to a child when they don't seem to deserve it? When you have to learn to be joyful, you have to be peaceful. How many times have you say, oh, Lord, I need your peace right now with this child? And then you have to learn to be patient and kind and good. And then you need to walk in self-control because sometimes you want to lose it, right? And so these guys were going through a training program where the Holy Spirit was showing them every part of their lives and saying, I'm walking you through a process to mature you. So you don't handle this situation the same way you did yesterday or last week or last month or last year. You're growing. All right. So this training began a day-to-day relationship with the Holy Spirit for these guys. So they were no longer seeing Jesus face-to-face. Now they were hearing the Holy Spirit based on their spiritual ears and their spiritual eyes. They had a sensitivity to know that when he was around and what he wanted to do. Judy had to have a sensitivity to know this is what God wants to do. So she took a risk and says, I think I'm hearing the Lord right, and then this is what the Lord wants to do today. And that, so this training program was day-to-day, not on just Sunday mornings, right? So if it was a day-to-day for them, it should be a day-to-day for us. Our training doesn't happen just on Sunday mornings. It's every day of the week. So do you know where you stand with God? Have you asked that question? I'm not sure where I stand with him. Am I making time to find out where I stand? Do I hear him clearly? Do I know his voice? Do I understand what he wants me to do? If we're not clear as far as where we stand with God himself, we're always going to try to earn his acceptance based on lies that we've believed. But when we're clear what our Bibles say, then we stand on a truth that says, I'm convinced that I am already accepted. I don't have to earn it, right? So, if that's the case, and from day to day, this might change in your lives. You know, some days you say, you know, I'm full of confidence, I'm full of boldness. But there are other days where you're saying, I'm really struggling. So, is there anyone here who's struggling with where they stand with God? It's okay to admit it. You know? So, I'm going to mention four areas where you might need some answers. And this might be something that's you're believing, a lie that you're believing. It might be a lie that's been passed on to your family from generation to generation about how you see yourselves. But is there something that you're feeling that's preventing you from knowing God more intimately? And you can be honest with me. Is there something, do you feel something is preventing you from knowing God more intimately? In other words, is there something in your past that's haunting you? And is there something in your past that's defining you that's not found in this book? What will allow you to move forward with God? Number two, do you need more of his presence in your life? How many of you need more of his presence in your life? Right. So are we making room and are we making time for him to do that? And are we doing it on a consistent basis? And number three, are you looking for that authority to say, I know with all confidence I am a son. I am a daughter. And you've shaken off the orphan thinking or feelings of being an orphan where I don't belong. Would you like to know what the Bible says about that? Don't you think it's time for us to find out what it says in here and say, God, show me those promises so that I can deposit them here. Not here, not in the head. Sure, they can be in your head, but they're not going to do as much for you until they're in your heart. That you write your own confessions about what he says. And the fourth one is, are you ready to ask the Holy Spirit to mentor you so that you can walk in joy, so that you can walk in love, that you can walk in peace, that no matter what circumstance you're facing, you can be peaceful, joyful, patient, kind, loving. Now, I would like to pray for those of you who feel like, you know what, one of these four areas fit me. One of these four areas fit me, and I want prayer for that. And if you do want prayer, I'm going to ask you to come up front, right up here. And if you feel like you're not comfortable quite yet, we've got a couple songs that we're going to be playing in the background that we're, if you listen and look at the lyrics, I believe they're going to minister to you. And if not, I would ask you to just, like you did earlier this today when we were praying for Bonnie, that you would point your hands toward those who come up front and come in agreement that God begins to do a work to answer one of those four areas that I mentioned. So, who needs to come up front for prayer regarding one of these four areas? If you are, please face toward this way and just make a line right here.